This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. 7.06 in the morning, Thursday the 14th of January, and in about 10 minutes we're going to be talking about foreign investment in Malaysia with Dr. Jeffrey Williams, Professor at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Yeah, so if you take a look at the US, it was a little bit of a mixed bag. The Dow was down marginally, when I'm talking about 0.02%. So just let's call it flat. The S&P 500 was up 0.2%. And if I take a look at the components of the S&P 500, Intel had a strong showing yesterday, 7% up, I think, on the back of a change in the CEO there. And we also have the NASDAQ up 0.4%. Noel, how did Asian markets do?
Yes, just looking very quickly, the Nikkei was up 1%, Hang Seng down 0.2%, Shanghai down 0.3%, STI up marginally, like you say, flat 0.01%, FBM, KLCI, up 1.5%. What emergency, right?
And very quickly, gold is at $1,848 per ounce, marginally in the green this morning. Oil is down 1.2% this morning at $55.91. And Bitcoin is at $37,352, flat this morning, 29% up year to date.
All right. And for more insight into global markets, this morning we're speaking with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy over at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thanks so much for speaking with us today. So what would be the likely risks to Malaysia's economy due to the reimposition of movement controls, coupled, of course, with the emergency declaration that we've had?
I mean, that remains the key question on everyone's mind. And I think we need to be quite careful about two things. One is we need to isolate and admit to ourselves what is the necessary pain to be borne purely by the pandemic itself and the MCO, which is really germinating the growth rebound for the period after. So it is an intertemporal thing, shifting growth around and hoping for a stronger recovery. The state of emergency, I think there are many ways to skin that cat. Of course, there may be some fears that this is actually, as sensationalists would want to put it out there, it's undemocratic and so it would, perhaps dent investment, so on and so forth. But what we do not lose sight of is in the immediate term, it allows the government to focus on the MCO and tackling COVID. And it's only beyond that that these questions arise. So it removes political uncertainty out of the equation at a time where we cannot afford distractions. So I think we can defer the question to a later period. That benefit of the doubt is there.
So the emergency does have some short-term benefits, but just the mere word of emergency, is it likely to cause foreign direct and as well as portfolio investors to become underweight on Malaysia? And are there implications on our sovereign debt ratings?
You know, I think panic loves company. And I think one thing that can be said is Malaysia is not alone in a state of emergency. I mean, we know that the term means different things in different countries, but it is not alone, and there are other countries that have declared a state of emergency to tide through this period. So I think that dampens the negative connotations associated with this. And I think in the near term, investors can somehow stomach the fact that this actually perhaps suspends any political pushback in terms of policy making or holding elections, so on and so forth. However, this is a point to concede, during this fragile period, one of the big questions that comes around, especially after the Fitch incident, is whether or not it might have a ratings impact, and that could become very real and hard to defer if S&P takes a negative view of it and acts on their negative outlook.
And how much would the MCO shave off in the GDP in the first quarter?
But I think in the first quarter, we're looking at a half a percentage point shave off. Of course, these figures are somewhat distorted because we are coming into a recovery. So sans MCO, this recovery, we would have expected a nicer pickup in Q1. But now, growth is knocked back to below Q4 levels. So that is the imminent effect of that, but we do think this is not entirely a tragedy for two reasons. One is I think we've learned from previous MCOs, and these MCOs are far more targeted. So it limits pain wherever possible, which is important. And it also sets growth up to recover more strongly insofar that the containment takes place quicker than not.
Vishnu, just changing gears a little bit, let's talk about oil. Now, oil prices are starting to inch towards the $60 level, although they have backtracked a little bit today to $56 again. Do you think it will break past the $60 level anytime soon?
I think there is a temptation to test that out. And a few things stand in the way. I mean, the immediate order of things is to try to suss up and assess the balance of demand and supply. And I think the buildup in refined products is now standing in the way of crude, breaking free and going on an all-out rally. A slightly firmer dollar also doesn't help. But the bigger picture perhaps remains constrained for two reasons. And let's neatly package them into the supply reasons and the demand reasons. On the demand side of things, it may be constrained by the fact that as optimistic as we should be about the vaccine, we do know there are subsequent waves of mutated viruses, and we also know that the vaccine rollout is phased, and I think the whole immunity thing may take a while to come about. So that's one reason why demand recovery will not be unfettered, and hence a very strong pickup in oil prices may have to wait a while. On the supply side, we know that U.S. shale will start creeping in the 50 to 55 region, and that pickup may be stronger when we go head into 55-60. And we also know that within OPEC, there's a lot of agitation for restoring output, and most recently led by Russia. So the big split, if Saudi did not independently cut supply, we'll also be facing increased supply. So yes, it'll be tempted to push that boundary. But to sustain anything above that at 60, 65 levels, that will become a lot more difficult in the very near term, given the uncertainty.
Now, Vishnu, the US federal deficit's been reported at $573 billion for the fourth quarter last year, underlining the level of unprecedented government support. Another $900 billion has been approved for pandemic stimulus. At what point should we start being concerned about inflation?
I think this almost gives us a sense of deja vu in the sense that we've watched this movie before. But this part two, I think, has got some twists and turns left in it. And the usual caveats apply. One of it is, I think the biggest reflex here is to say, hang on, we need to look at actually the velocity of money, how quickly businesses regain confidence and how quickly this feeds back as demand pull inflation. But I think that part of the textbook is already a little aged. And I think what we really need to pay attention to is the type of inflation it leads to. And arguably it's already led to a lot of inflation, but only it's been confined to the asset markets by and large. We've also seen spots of cost push inflation that might increase as infrastructure programs pick up. So it's really the form of inflation that comes about. And ultimately, the whole purpose of inflation, why we watch it, so on and so forth, I think that one we can't avoid, which is inequality widens. And I think we need to be worried. We need to be worried. We needed to be worried 10 years ago. We need to be a little bit more worried now.
At what inflation rate will it become a concern for the Fed and for them to take some drastic measure?
Oh, that's a very good question. And that's a point question. I'm going to broaden that into a line question. And the point about it, no pun intended, is really that the Fed, typically had looked at 2%. Their mandate now expressly and explicitly allows them to go above that. So the question is, I think, twofold. One is how much, so the magnitude to which it rises above 2. I think they're quite comfortable to get anything between 2 to 2.5, even edging towards 3. And then the second order question is how long it sustains there. If it sustains there for a very long period, and if it grows up to that level very, very rapidly, we will see very prompt action by the Fed, at least to start pulling back on QE. But I think on rates, the Fed has got somewhat a greater degree of patience, because they also recognize that they need to pass inflation data to see whether this is transitory cost push or demand has truly recovered.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy over at Mizuho Bank, talking to us about what's been happening in international markets, particularly over in the US, where there has been unprecedented levels of government support as a result of this pandemic.
Yeah, so Mike, my interest is really in Malaysia. The thing is, he mentioned that rating agencies may reconsider our sovereign debt rating, but I guess that's it, that we have to wait and see that happens. Whatever is it, the MCO will shave off some percentage points of our GDP, because not all business can operate, or there are some restrictions in terms of how much capacity those businesses can operate in.
And I guess also once MCO 2.0 comes to its eventual end, it's what the emergency entails in terms of the operations of the country, right? What can we or cannot do? Like, what changes? I think based on the Prime Minister's speech the other day, it's that everything should be as per the norm, but there are just a lot more powers with the executive and the Agong, and with the and that there's no parliament sitting.
Yeah, and we're going to be continuing this conversation about the MCO and the current state of Malaysia from the terms of foreign investment in Malaysia with Dr. Jeffrey Williams, professor at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Up next, stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.